Our first reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Hello.
Hello, Mark. It's Sue.
Hi, Sue. What's going on?
Well, remember when we spoke last, you said you'd be willing to talk more about why you go to church and your faith in God. Did you really mean that?
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to. Why do you ask?
Well, I went to my aunt's funeral a few days ago, and it's kind of been on my mind ever since. It reminded me of the conversation we had.
I'm sorry to hear about your aunt. What reminded you of the conversation?
Last time we spoke, I had a hard time putting into words why I don't go to church anymore. This funeral reminded me, but it also threw me for a loop.
That sounds interesting. Tell me more.
What bothered me was what the pastor said in his sermon. All he talked about was how my aunt was in heaven, so everything was all right.
And that bothered you because?
Because he didn't say anything about her life. She was 85 years old and lived an amazing life, but he never mentioned that. All he was concerned about was that she was in heaven now. It's like her life didn't matter. If that's what it's all about, getting to heaven when we die, I just don't care. Am I making any sense?
That makes perfect sense. If that's what my church taught, or if that's what I thought, that's what God all's about, I wouldn't be interested either. But I've come to think of Christianity as being equally, if not more, concerned about how we live together right now. As best I recall, Jesus didn't talk much about getting people into heaven. He's much more concerned about people's lives in this world.
That's good to hear. I wish you would have talked to that pastor before the funeral.
Call me next time. I'll set him straight. But what is this loop you were thrown in?
I wish I could explain it better. Even though I was miffed at the pastor, something about just being there with my family, singing hymns I haven't sung for years, praying, it just seemed special, peaceful, comforting. I guess it surprised me. It made me wonder if maybe I do believe in God more than I thought.
Sometimes it helps me to keep in mind that God and religion are two different things. Religion and pastors try to get it right, but they don't always. But that doesn't change God. God both works with and without, and sometimes in spite of religion and crazy pastors. Maybe that's what you were feeling. Hey, Sue, sorry, but I gotta run. Can we pick this up later?
Sure, that's fine. You've given me some things to think about. Talk to you later. Bye.
So, our Changing the Story sermon series, today we're talking about shifting from a focus on getting into heaven or the afterlife to a focus on the kingdom of God here and now. And I grew up in a Lutheran church that had a pretty strong social justice focus, and I really don't remember hearing sermons that were about how to get into heaven. It wasn't part of my, well, at least I don't remember it as part of what I heard from the pulpit. I do remember thinking about heaven a lot as a kid, but I was a weird kid. And I do have one Sunday school lesson that really sticks out in my mind that I remember we sat down and we drew a picture of what we imagined heaven would be like. And I remember that I drew a picture of green fields with all different colored flowers and lots and lots and lots of animals. And I remember that I just loved that image, imagining that beautiful, perfect place where all the things that I love would be and that someday I would get to be there. And that idea has certainly captured the imagination of people around the world and throughout time. What happens after we die? That's something that humans have wondered about, have dreamed about, have speculated about forever. And all the beautiful ways that we imagine can bring a lot of comfort to us, especially in the midst of loss. So today we're talking about a shift, shifting away from emphasizing the great by and by, heaven in the sky, and shifting towards an emphasis on the kingdom of God here and now. But this shift doesn't mean letting go of our belief in an afterlife, or letting go of the comfort of that image of a place where all the things we love are, all the people we love, or the belief that we will end up there too. In fact, I would say that my faith is very much grounded in my belief in life after death, in that part of the Christian story. The way I understand it is a foundation of my faith, and it's summed up really well for me in Romans 8, which my favorite Bible verse, when I was at Rejoice, we used to write our favorite Bible verses, all the staff members, in the Bibles when we gave them to the kids, and I always wrote Romans 8, 38 to 39. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's the foundation of my faith, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from God's love. And it's also how I understand life after death, because my life, everything I do, is grounded in the fact that I am forever bound to, connected to God. In my baptism, I was made one with Christ. I was claimed as a child of God, and so I am forever bound together with the source of all life, God's love. And I can never be separated from that. Just like Paul wrote to the Romans, nothing can separate me from that. Absolutely nothing that I do or say, nothing that happens to me in this world, in this life, not even death can separate me from the source that all that is, which is God's love. So what does that look like? What does that life that I'm bound to look like after I've died in this world? Does it look like that beautiful green field with frolicking animals? I have no idea. No one does. That's why if you look through Scripture, you'll find a whole variety of ways of talking about heaven or life after death. There are all sorts of images and descriptions and ways of thinking because we don't know. We weren't given that information. It's been left to speculation and human imaginings. What we do have is God's promise to never let us go. What we have is God's promise to always be with us. And the witness of Jesus that always continues even after death. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Not even death. So there's my afterlife sermon in a nutshell. We are promised life, life abundant, and life eternal, because nothing can separate us, nothing can separate us from God's love. And that is very good news. And yet the one who revealed this to the world, the one who came and with his very life bore witness to who God is and what God does, he didn't talk much about heaven. Jesus didn't preach about life after death or give people a to-do list of how to get into heaven. Jesus came and proclaimed, like we heard in today's gospel reading, Jesus came to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus, with his life and ministry, was all about caring for people, helping people, setting people free from all the things that tear them down, that oppress them, that keep them held in bondage. Whether it's physical ailments, poverty, whether it's hunger or being a social outcast, whether it's political oppression or whatever it is, Jesus came to bring real, tangible freedom and comfort and care to people in this life. So this change of story, just like every change of story Pastor Jim has mentioned so far, is really more of a change of emphasis. In the past, the church has heavily emphasized this idea of life after death in a very reward-based way. Do this, live this way, and be rewarded after death with heaven. To change the story in a way that makes our faith more relevant for the world we live in, we simply reclaim what Jesus proclaimed. To reclaim that which Jesus told us he came to do, what God sent Jesus to do. So that's what's going on today in our gospel reading from Luke. Jesus is telling the people what he came to do. Jesus was in his hometown in the synagogue, and he was preaching and teaching there. They brought to him a scroll to read from, a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus read from it. And when he does, we get just another example of Jesus changing the story. He reads from sort of a hodgepodge of Isaiah 58:6 and Isaiah 61:1. And first, he emphasizes the connection of this prophetic text to his own ministry. He reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. He has sent me to proclaim." And then Jesus reads on to describe his own ministry, what it is that God has sent him to do, which, as I said before, is proclaim good news to the poor, give sight to the blind, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is a reference to the Jubilee year. So it's more freedom, release from debt, release from prison. It's all about setting people free. So we got the story that Jesus is reading from Isaiah, which is not a new story, but he's putting a new twist on it, because he's saying that he is a fulfillment of this story. And then there's another twist that we kind of miss because we don't have Isaiah memorized like early hearers would have. As Jesus is describing his ministry, he's reading from Isaiah 61:1, but he doesn't finish the sentence. He doesn't finish the sentence that continues into 61:2, which says, after the good news to the poor and all that stuff, it ends with, "And the day of the vengeance of our God." Jesus doesn't read that part. Jesus leaves that part out. That was not part of what God sent him to do, proclaim the vengeance of our God. So Jesus is changing the story. He's not throwing it out. He's not deleting the prophets or canceling the prophets. He's simply emphasizing and highlighting what it is that God sent him to do. Jesus was sent to bring good news to the poor, to set people free from oppression, not to proclaim the vengeance of our God or hellfire and damnation. Jesus changes the emphasis, and that's what we are reclaiming. When we retell the story, we reclaim what it is that Jesus was sent to do, and we become a part of that. We become a part of God's kingdom here and now by continuing to do what God sent Jesus to do. Because remember, Jesus was the breaking in of God's kingdom here on earth. And we're invited to be a part of that. We are invited to participate in that today, to live in that kingdom here and now by caring for the poor, caring for the downtrodden, caring for those who have been oppressed. This is the way. This is the path that Jesus shows us. This is the way Jesus invites us in to be with him, to live with him in God's kingdom. That's what we are invited to do. That's what we are invited to be a part of. All that earlier stuff I said about my belief, rooted in Romans, that nothing can separate us from God's love. That is the good news, that we will never be separated from that life that God offers to us, that Jesus shows us and invites us into. So it's not about earning that life somewhere down the road, but about participating in a life that we can never lose. Participating in the joy and abundance that is here and now when we care for one another, when we share God's love with one another. The life that we get to be a part of today, here and now, that can never be taken from us. We will never lose it. And we get to share it with everyone. That is a story worth telling. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, this is